We are going to welcome in Christine Gevert from Crescendo. Of course, more information on Crescendo is always available at worldclassmusic.org. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Marshall.
And how are you this morning?
Fine. Very well. Thank you for having me again.
Well, I hope you're well rested, because I'm looking at events for you on April 28th, May 5th, and May 6th.
Yes, it's a busy season, and we are so excited to offer so many concerts this year to our local audiences. And the May 5 and 6 concerts are Crescendo's large choral oratorio concerts, we call them, and they feature big Baroque works from, as we call them, the Baroque giants. And, of course, those are fantastic composers, Handel and Vivaldi, well known for the Messiah Handel and for the Seasons Vivaldi. And we're presenting large oratorios by them, sacred works, but that resemble a little bit the opera as well. They are quite, as we would say in a very direct language, full-on works. And I'm going to explain a little bit about that the week, this coming Saturday, in the pre-concert talk, which I called, the two subjects are how opera Ben led to Handel composing one of his big masterworks, the Dixit Dominus, and how deception and greed kept from us one of the largest oratorios that Vivaldi wrote, the Dixit Dominus, as well. So you're going to hear the Dixit Dominus, the setting of a psalm, a very colorful psalm, Psalm 110. The Lord Said, in two versions by Handel and by Vivaldi. And anyway, this Saturday, April 28 at noon, there's a free pre-concert talk. It's a short talk with a quick question and answer session. You may bring your lunch. It's at Trinity Church in Lime Rock, I will explain the background about these two large works, and it'll be over around a little bit before 1 o'clock, and then the concerts are the following weekend, May 5 in St. James Place in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and on Sunday, May 6 at 4 o'clock here in Lime Rock, Trinity Church, Lime Rock, and you will hear international soloists, a Baroque orchestra, Crescendo chorus, and also some of Crescendo soloists.
Now, this really is a significant piece of work. Is this probably one of the more significant pieces that you've undertaken?
Yes, it definitely is up there with the larger oratorios that we've done with Crescendo. We've done a few bigger oratorio concerts over the years, and yes, this ranks up there. So something not to be missed. It's very festive. It has a trumpet and oboes as well, so it's not just the strings, which is beautiful enough. The continuous section has the orbo as well, which is an Italian large neck guitar, you would say, a plucked instrument. So it's a very colorful, beautiful orchestra ensemble. We have world-renowned countertenor Nicolas Tamagna coming back from Europe to sing at this concert, and soloists from New York that are really at the top of their game, and they're all early music specialists. And for the people that are not so familiar with early music, I compare early music singers a little bit with pop stars. And the way of singing of a good early music singer is so differentiated. And I think the singers that I can think of that come the closest to singing early music, the way good early music singers sing, are actually pop stars, because they move their voice in a way that it goes in and out of different shades, and the vibrato is not something that's ever present, which sometimes can be a bit tiresome. At hearing modern opera, it sounds a little bit artificial sometimes, and some people are just not so excited about that sound, being constantly overwhelmed by vibrato. But that's a whole other discussion topic, which I will also put into a talk at some point. So for audiences that are not familiar with this repertoire, it's very enjoyable and very organic and very differentiated. I've heard that tickets are selling well and that we have a number of children also attending this time. So it's interesting. People get excited when they hear the names Handel and Vivaldi. They truly are the giants in Baroque music.
Well, what's interesting, I always use the term, when people get finished going to a concert like this, it's uplifting. You feel good. It's a very uplifting experience.
It sure is. And it speaks to the both of the realms, the emotional realm, actually, perhaps you would say three, the intellectual realm, because there's obviously a text and something behind the way this music is built. And similar like when you contemplate art, it impacts you in a direct way, emotional, physical way. And then there is the intellectual part, the construction of these works. They really are masterpieces of architecture. And even though you may or may not be religious, but there is a spiritual realm to music that's always mysterious. And when you hear masterworks performed live, it impacts you. And I'm not saying this to boast our own performances or group, but I repeatedly get comments from audience members that are not close friends, so they're not saying anything to please me as a friend. But people say that has touched them deeply, that they have contemplated immortality, that they've contemplated the soul of their passed-on parents. I get these very moving comments after the concert that go into a realm that you normally are not in touch with when you go to a movie or when you go to other events. And that's always very humbling and very moving as well. So there is something about listening to masterworks live that is not to be missed. And we are fortunate that we get so much support from this community that we're able to present these large works.
We're speaking with Christine Geverit, once again coming up on the 5th and 6th crescendo. Really big concerts. One's on May 5th at 6 p.m. at St. James Place, a beautiful place to hear music in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. And then, of course, the home base on May 6th at 4 p.m. That's a Sunday at Trinity Lock in Lakeville, Connecticut. Crescendo.org for tickets. But, you know, I'm Christine, and we've talked about this before. I'm a big fan of groups like The Who, Jethro Tull, Electric Light Orchestra, and everything. And I never, ever, ever, ever even considered. But once I was invited to a concert like this, and I went, and I can honest to God say, and it was about 15, 20 years ago, so I was younger, I was around 45, I walked out of there absolutely amazed and self-inspired. I'll use those terms.
That's a great experience, Marshall, that you share. And I think it's shared by our audiences. And there's something about classical music, and specifically also Baroque music. And they had this down to a science. They figured out what sounds in music cause a reaction in the audience. They really were quite specialized, something that now we take for granted. When we go to a movie and we hear music that underlines a certain feeling of a scene, either a love scene, something romantic, or something tense, something's about going to happen, something somber, something happy, the Baroque era is when that got figured out. And that's why this music still speaks to us so many centuries later. They figured out, and they called it the theory of the affections. They figured out how music works, and they even went as far as analyzing the human body and seeing which musical movements and harmonies and keys would speak to melancholy, to joy, to anger or rage. This theory of the affects really started to explore all of these reactions, and they even talked about the bodily humors, how the body moves when it's stimulated by this music. So now in this era that we have done so much scientific research about the impact of different things on our body and brain, and there are many studies about oxytocin being released in the brain when you hear music live, performed live, which is what makes you feel happy and uplifted. Well, in Baroque times, this was something that was really studied in earnest, and I think they figured this out. And so these works by Handel and Vivaldi, they are very colorful, and mostly they speak to a positive emotion. The sound Dixit Dominus is a strong sound, and is the message, whether you be Christian or not, is still very valid in our times. The sound speaks about God elevating the listener and putting him to his right side and elevating him above his enemies, and the enemies are spelled out as corrupt kings. And so it's talking about corruption in high, powerful leadership and how they will be destroyed and shattered. And that is portrayed in a very dramatic musical language, the shattering of the powerful that are corrupted. And you can apply that to any situation in our own lives, and it's part of human nature, I guess, unfortunately, corruption, and that leadership is not always positive. So the message of these psalms is let the listener be lifted up, the person that believes in goodness and the higher power, let that person be lifted up, and at the same time the enemies be destroyed and put down. And so enough said about this message. Yep. It's truly powerful, and that's why this sound Dixit Dominus has been set to music by so many composers throughout the history.
All right, so Dixit Dominus, once again, the voices of Order Over Chaos, is coming up on May 5th at St. James Place in Great Barrington, and May 6th, Sunday at 4 p.m. at Trinity Rock at Lime Rock. Christine, again, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. And just make sure the website is worldclassmusic.org, and there is the information and ticket sales, and we'd love to see you at the concerts. And as always, I thank you, Marshall, for having us and helping us to spread the word. Thank you very much.